The message today is entitled, Surely God is in this place and I don't know it. When you're traveling sometimes, especially if you're in a long journey, when you are so tired, you will just use anything as your pillow, won't you? You just fold your jacket, put it on the on the plastic chair, maybe in the long wait or in the airport, or in the coach where you or the bus you're riding. And technically, we wake up later with a stiff neck and an arm that is so numb that you wouldn't care what happened to that arm anymore. But centuries ago, in the Song and the Song Dynasty of China, according to records, we are actually, if we're doing these things on our journey, we are actually living so far, by comparison, a luxury, because in that dynasty, even if you're very rich, the pillow that they're using before is made of molded porcelain. You would imagine how you would put your head on the porcelain, isn't it? But according to their practice, if you use a molded porcelain stilt on your neck and on your head, number one, it functions as an air conditioning to your head, especially in the sticky nights in summer. Secondly, they believe, according to their medical doctors, that it refreshes your brain and makes you at ease and preserve your memory. Well, of course, we don't use that anymore, and we will never use that. No, we'll never use that. If you became a geisha at the time in Japan, because geisha are entertainers and their hair is so nice, aren't they? They have to spend so many hours with all the arrangement of their hair, and they also have to use a wooden stilt for their neck when they sleep, because if they would fall flat on the bed, then obviously they have to go to the hairdresser again the next day. So in comparison to those traveling using the lumpy jacket in the neck, I think it's much better than the ones that they had before. The reason why I'm talking about the pillow is because the guy we're going to look into in the story this morning was Jacob. And of all the things that he could put his head upon on, is not a pillow, but a stone. He sleep, because according to that passage, he arrived at that place, which was formerly called Luz. The sun set. And when the sun set, he has nowhere to go. He cannot just proceed with his walk. So he put the stone on his head and lie on it and sleep. Now, Jacob here was running away from home. He wasn't a hero in this story. He actually was the evil one. Why? He actually took the blessing away from his brother, Esau. His father, who was already blind at the time, he managed to actually made him believe that he was Esau. And he even touched his face because he put some hair on his face using I think it's the goat's, if I'm not mistaken, or the sheep's hair on his face. So he was running away from the mistake he had done. He's running away from his own mistake. And he was sleeping there. And what happened? On the very place that nobody in our minds even until now would believe that he will meet God, God met him. While he was sleeping, he had this dream that the ladder, the stairway to heaven was there, and the angels of the Lord are coming up and down the stairs. It's not coming down and up. It's coming up and down the stairs, the stairway. If you think about it, the reason why it was written that the angels are coming up and down is because without Jacob's knowing, God was already working in that place even before he arrived. God was waiting for him. He was there, and he didn't do anything to make God do it. He doesn't deserve it, and yet God make himself available in that place. The reason why I'm saying is this, so many times we forget that trolley or the pushchair you're pushing all the time, or the chair in the kitchen you're sitting most of the mornings, or maybe an office desk that you're working in your workplace every day, a silent witness, and you thought they're just ordinary. But the fact is, if you look at the biblical point of view, the things that we consider ordinary is most of the time the place where God ministers to us. You thought it's nothing, but with God, it is something. So when you are looking out in your garden, think not only of the flowers, but think of the reality that God is in that place. He is there with you. With all the achings you feel in the morning, regardless of the creaking of whatever is creaking, God is there with you. Why? Do you think Jacob doesn't have any aches from all the walks that he did at the time, from all the running that he did? He's so tired that he had to sleep, even the use of the stone as his pillow. If you're going to look at it, I tried to be a bit looking at some parts of the passage, and lo and behold, according to the studies, according to scholars, there is one what they call a hapax legomena in this passage. Hapax legomena is a Latin word, if I'm not mistaken, and it means it's one of a kind. You will never find that word anywhere in the Bible. You know what is it? Stairway. That passage talks about the stairway to heaven. That is the only word mentioned in the scripture in the Old Testament. Nothing else. Nowhere else. So that has significance. The significance is that God showed himself in the very place we don't expect him to show himself. Surely, God is in this place, and I didn't know it. So I was thinking, how many times I missed the opportunity of saying, thank you, Lord, that you are here with me, because I thought I need to be in a special place in order to experience the presence of God. For how many years this church had worshiped in this school hall? This is just a hall for others, but this is a place where God is to us here at Downs Baptist Church. So until we leave these premises, this is where you find God as well. Not just because you are sitting just in a simple plastic chairs facing this table that you have. This is the place where God is. He's meeting with us today. He is here with us. He was with you since the beginning of time that you were here. For the last 30 years, as he never leave you, he will never leave you until we leave these premises. Because where we are, just like Jacob, God is going to be with us. So don't think again you need to be somebody very perfect, somebody that has done all the prayers that you can imagine, somebody who has been so good in reading the Bible before God will show himself to you. The fact is, Jacob was actually sleeping and yet God still showed himself to him. The second thing that I find is this, which made me fall in love with God all the more, is this. While Jacob was sleeping, God promised him with almost seven I ams or I will. Jacob wasn't doing anything, but God said to him, I will bless you. I will give you this land. I will protect you and I will be with you until you return to this place. And we know that place, that became the place of Israel. So if you think again, God in his goodness actually doesn't wait for us to become perfect people before he show himself to us. It is only a matter of knowing that he is here with us. Because whether you recognize it or not, God is here with us. What is the significance of this? The significance of this is that whenever we think of him or not even think of him, he is with us. You know why I said that? Because part of the musings, part of the meditation I did when I was reading this is this question. Kirk is nonverbal, my son. He has autism. He wouldn't have any clue what is salvation. He wouldn't have any idea what is salvation. If his dad is a pastor, I don't know if he knows. I don't think he knows. But the question is God with him? Is God working for him? Is God blessing him? Those are my questions. And this passage answers that because Jacob was even sleeping and doesn't know what's happening around him, and yet God came down and talked to him in a dream. That's our God. Kirk doesn't need to know the theology of theodicy. He doesn't need to know the theology of salvation. God just saved him because God is good. And for us who are not autistic, for us who doesn't have any special needs to look into, we are more, all the more be encouraged that God is good and He doesn't wait for us to be a perfect person in order to save us. All we need to do is to recognize that, Lord, You are good. Thank You. I believe You. That's all we need to do. You see, the scripture says that the stairway to heaven that God showed to Jacob is that the stairway with all the angels coming up and down. And if you fast forward in John chapter 1, verses 51, when Jesus was calling His disciples, there was one man there in that passage. His name was Nathanael. Nathanael said, Lord, you know, I can't believe that, you know, you're like this. I now know that You are the Messiah. And then Jesus said, now that I told you that I saw You there under the fig tree, now you believe Me? As I would tell you now, time will come, you will see angels walking up and down on the Son of Man. He didn't say any stairway. In John 1:51, the stairway that Jacob saw in his dream actually is Jesus. Later on, He is the gateway to heaven. He is the door to heaven. He is the way to heaven. Well, John said, I am the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. The stairway in Jacob's dream is not a place, it is a person. It is Jesus Christ Himself. And you know how many years it became a reality? At least 800 years. God's word, the heavens and earth will pass away, but My word will never pass away. If He promised that 800 years ago, He will see it to fulfillment later on. And if God promised you in your heart that He will give a building to this church, I don't care even if I retired and you didn't still have the building, He will provide you the building. Just hold on to that, because God is not a promiser who also breaks His promises. He fulfills what He said. Let me tell you one story in my life. Year 2000, I was out and about. I live in the Mans because I became a minister at the age of 22, I think. I was already a minister. And I think I became a senior minister of a church with other ministers working under me in year 2003, if I'm not mistaken. I was a bit burdened because I'm single at the time, young. So many problems in the church. You have to look and listen to the difficulties of the people around you. And I went out to the in the evening, and I went out and looked out. I said, Lord, what's happening? What do You want me to do? Is it time for me to go? Because obviously I can't handle this. Somebody should be able to do this who is more experienced than I am. What shall I do? And I have this imagination. Well, it's time for you to go abroad. Where shall I go? So I said, Lord, if this is the idea that You have and it is Yours, then I will hold on to it and pray for it. If after a year or two it's still here, then we'll talk about it. Truly, it happened. Several years later, God impressed into my head, you'll be going to Oxford. Well, do you realize that Filipinos don't really know where Oxford is? So I started digging the internet and find what is Oxford University. 2003 later, I received a scholarship to go to London, to study in London. For 2 years, my food, my lodging, I have even an Italian chef cooking for us. And I was given this free accommodation at the London Theological Seminary under the scholarship of the former minister of Westminster Chapel, Dr. Lloyd-Jones. So I was one of his scholars. When I was studying there, it's not Oxford. That's London Theological Seminary. That's London. Where is the promise of God? What was He doing? You know what happened? I met Alma. We got married. We lived in London until 2009. And at the very last day of the registration at Oxford University, I was given the place. It happened at least 9 years after. That's why I'm saying to you, when God promises something, you don't need to deserve it. He is just so good that if He has planned something, He will do it regardless of what the span of time that it has to pass through. And the first place, believe me, that I visited after I arrived in London was Brighton in year 2003. I had my fish and chips in one of the pier shops there. And would you believe me now to tell you that when we were walking around, I said, oh, this is funny. God showed me the place before, not realizing that it's going to bring me up on those mountains in Wooding Dean. Because God has a plan. His grace is so good that we don't have to dismiss the fact that even if we're not deserving, and yet when he has planned something for you, he will bring it to fruition. So maybe you came from the Lake District. How you ended up in a Peace Haven or a Telscombe Cliff? Maybe you're from Birmingham and you ended up here, or you're from Crawley or somewhere. Surely God is in this place. And maybe you just don't know it before. And now we have to be reminded he is in this place. I believe in my heart that wherever we are, because God is good, he is with us. And wherever we are, he is there. So don't worry about tomorrow. He is waiting for you already. Don't worry about the present aches and difficulties that you have. He knew that. And don't worry about the things that you're about to worry, because he is already saying to you, don't worry about anything. But in prayer with thanksgiving, give your prayers to God. I love the fact that this church is small at the moment, because I was able to know your names. I dread the point where I could say, oh, okay, house number 45, I'm going to visit, and I don't know the name. But in my heart, I believe that the reason why we're few is because he wants us first to have a quality relationship, because God wants us to know that he is here in this place. You are not just a number. You are not just a face. You are not just somebody walking around in circles. You are in this place because God is in this place. So what now? What now because God is in this place? I think we have to remind ourselves. When football is there, let's go there and watch football. What we have to remember, surely God is in this in that place too. I don't want to shock you, but if ever time will come that there will be free tickets given to this church on a Sunday morning, I will invite you all and we'll go together to the football field. Why? If your heart's desire is to watch the football and yet you believe in God at the same time, let's go there. It's only 1 hour and a half anyway. And you would say, Jerry, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you one thing, and this is this. Time has come for you to realize that we are serving the God who doesn't want us to be good first in order that he's going to bless us. He is already good. And all we do to him is to worship him, because he doesn't measure us according to the good things we have done, but he accepts us because he is just gracious. Actually, the reason in our hearts we want to give him the first, we want to bless him first, we want to go first to the church, we want to worship him first, despite we would like to watch the football, is because we just love him. We are responding to his kindness. But in terms of us thinking whether God is blessing us, whether God is going to answer our prayers because we are good people? No. According to this passage, even if you're sleeping, God is blessing you. He has a plan for you. And I would close this by saying to you, I'm not happy with what I'm just saying right now, because I don't think it's right. So I thought to myself, let me go dig deeper. Why did God do this to Jacob? Why was he blessing despite all these bad things he did before to his family? Why was he still blessing him? And I dig deeper and I learn one thing. Even before Jacob was born, God already promised that he's going to bless Jacob. Yeah? He promises that he's going to bless Jacob. And all I can say this morning is this. Don't you know that before you were born, I believe one of your ancestors prayed for you. I believe God answered my mom's prayer about me. So whatever I am, whoever I am, and whatever I could be, that's already God's answers prayers to someone's prayer for me. And so God is operating by the view that all of us here today are answers to somebody's prayers. And so what would happen now? Please, don't strive so hard to please God by your own good works. Do good works because you believe in God, but don't do good works in order to get God's attention. Because he already has his full attention. That's grace. That's grace. That's grace. One of the people who was in the church here before many years ago and had passed on has been praying, looking to this church and ministering in prayer And although I can't reveal yet at this time his name, he had written something of a prophecy for this church. And one of the lines there said, I want you to lift up whatever is weighing you down. I want that taken. And believe me, people, I assumed, and I do feel that one thing that weighs us down here is that many of us experience from time to time the nagging thought, the force that made you think, oh, I need to do something more for God so that, you know, he will do this and he will do that. Stop it. God has you have God's attention. You don't need to do anything. All you have to do now is to remember his goodness, celebrate his goodness, and serve him from the point of thanksgiving. Because you are just grateful. That's why you serve him. And you can work from that. God wants us to be happy. Whether you remember him or not, he remembers you. Whether you recognize him or not, he recognizes you. But most of all, in heaven, we will all be perfect. Try to be one while here on earth, but don't stress yourself. Don't stress yourself. Surely, God is in this place, and I never knew it. But now we know that wherever we are, because God is good, he will be with us. So go out from this building. Make yourself a blessing to others, knowing that you are not on your own. You are with him, and he will never fail you, never leave you. In Jesus' name. Amen.